It's good to see everybody this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to our Bible study. It's pretty outside now. Got the rain we needed, and thank the Lord for that. And appreciate all of you being here this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house with you as we continue our study in the book of Zechariah. We're in the seventh chapter of the book of Zechariah today. In the first six chapters, we had eight visions that we saw. In each of those eight visions, it applied to what was happening then and what was going to happen in the future. That's what prophecy usually does, especially in the Old Testament. And so we have saw what was happening when they came back from captivity in Babylon, and they began to try to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem and the walls. And and we get to chapter 7 in the book of Zechariah. The eight visions are over with. Now we're getting into an area of Scripture where he doesn't say, I looked and saw, but he said, the word of the Lord came to me, or the Lord spoke to me. And so now we get into a different kind of context, not in prophecy, but in dealing with the people and dealing with what needs to be done and what God sees as their problems. And it relates a lot to the world we live in today as well. So I'm going to read in chapter 7, and then we will start breaking it down and go from there. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day. We thank you for the people that are watching online that can't be here today. Maybe some are on vacation watching while they're there. But Lord, we pray you'd keep them all safe and bless and watch over them. We thank you for your word, which is a perfect treasure without error. We're thankful, Lord, that you give us glimpses and teach us not only from the past, but you open you pull back the curtain and show us truth and plans and visions into the future yet to happen as well. And we know as surely as the Old Testament and the things that have already happened in prophecy that have been fulfilled, so shall all those that are of future events that will be fulfilled in prophecy as well. So help us to learn from your word today, to look into it and to place it in our own hearts that we might live for the Lord and not for ourselves. Teach us and lead us and guide us. Open up our hearts and our minds to your word that we might grasp the truth you want each of us to gain from it. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Chapter 7 of the book of Zechariah. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. The people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Reba, Regimelech, I knew I'd get it if I thought about it a minute, Regimelech, together with their men, to entreat the Lord by asking the priest of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me, ask all the people of the land and the priests when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words of the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous and the surrounding town were prosperous and the Negev and the western foothills were settled? And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts do not think evil of each other, but they refuse to pay attention. Stubbornly they turned their backs and stopped up their ears, and they made their hearts as hard as flint, and would not listen to the law or the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. Verse 13. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, where they were strangers. The land was left so desolate behind them that no one could come or go. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. Now then, there's two great problems that he's addressing here. Number one was the way they worshiped. The way they worshiped. Number two was the way they lived. So he is going over this with them. And he's talking about two things. He's talking about the way they worship, and he's talking about the way they live. Now then, notice they sent these messengers out. In verse 2, the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Rabimelech together with their men to entreat the Lord. Well, these two men that they sent out had just, no doubt, came themselves out of captivity because they had Babylonian names. They had names that had been given to them while they were in Babylon. And they were part of those that went out. Well, what is really going on here? We look first at what they said. Should we have to fast and mourn like we have in the past? That was one question they had. In other words, what we're looking at is what had happened, and the reason they were in captivity to begin with was because of idol worship. Well, what leads to worshiping idols or self and not really worshiping God? Same problem today that it was in that day. When worship becomes a ritual instead of a reality, you're not worshiping at all. It would be like to identify with, because they see, you'd have to understand, they had added all kinds of fast days. If something happened that they wanted to remember, they had a fast day that they would. It'd be like if our Congress declared a holiday. Let's say like Martin Luther King Day. They declared a holiday like Martin. Well, in Israel, at this time, if something happened in their nation that they felt like was prominent or good, they would have a fast day every year in remembrance of that. If we want to understand what they were doing and what God was saying to them, we would have to bring it into our time in which we live today. And it would be like this. You would go to God and you would say to God, "Well, God, is it necessary that I come to church on Wednesday night? This is getting to be a drag." And you know why it's getting to be a drag? Or maybe you come to God and you say, "Well, God, you know, is it necessary that I come to church on a Sunday night? Is that necessary that I come to church on Sunday night?" Or maybe you go and you say, "Well, God, is it necessary that I go to Bible study on Sunday morning? Is that really necessary that I do that?" Well, Well, what you're telling God is, God, you know, I really don't get anything out of this. You're telling God, you know, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm just doing it because I'm supposed to. And God looks at you and he says, then you're not going and you're not doing it for me, are you? That's what he's telling them. This fast that you're saying, do you have to keep having it? Well, the problem you coming and asking me about it is, he said, I don't care if you fast or not. He said, what I want is a broken and a contrite heart. You see, what you end up with is you, what you do for all the wrong reasons. And then when you do what you do for all the wrong reasons, you quit doing it. Because it's a drag. Because it has become difficult. In other words, you were doing it because you were supposed to, not because you wanted to. And as they came to God and they was talking about this feast or fast that they were having, and when they had this fast, they would mourn and wail and put ashes on their head and everything. And God said, you know, really, why you're doing that? You're doing that because you think because you do that, you're going to find favor with me. You're not doing that because you love me. That's what he's saying to them. That's what he's saying to them. This is what the Lord Almighty says. So first of all, he's talking to them about their worship. And let me tell you something. Same thing happens today. Same thing happens today. If the only reason you come to church is it's a ritual, and you say, well, this is something I need to do. If I don't do this, God's not going to bless me. God's not going to help me. God's not going to do this. God's not going to do that. Then you're doing it for the wrong reason. It's a ritual. And you know what a ritual is? A ritual becomes a religion. And you know what happens when a ritual becomes a religion? It becomes idolatrous. Because no more are you doing it for God, you're doing it for yourself. Because what you get out of it, what you would get from God out of it. So now, your ritual... That baby will be all right, don't worry about her. That ritual has become a religion. And that religion has become idolatrous. Because now it's not about God at all, it's just about you. And that's what they were doing, it was just about them. And that's why he said if you fast, if you really fast, what... You don't put ashes on your head and you don't go out and say, hey, look at what I'm doing and show yourself to be so religious. Look at me and what I'm doing. Go in your closet and pray. And if you fast, don't tell anyone what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. And so this is the whole thing he's dealing with them here. First of all, is in their worship. If worship to me or you, and this is something we have to guard against. This is something we have to guard against. Is that it's not something we just do because we're supposed to, or is it something we do because we want to, because of what God, who God is, and what God has done for us. Not that I came to church this morning because now I'm thinking, God, you're really going to bless me because here I showed up. Look at me. That's not the reason. But that was their reason. that they were doing what they were doing. And God said, I care less about your fast. It's about your heart. Where is your heart? If you don't have a heart for me, then I don't care what you do. It's not going to make any difference. And so if the only reason you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because it's a ritual, that's because of your religion, and that's because that's something you think is your duty, and if you do that, then you think, well, God's going to really bless me, and I'll get more from God, and this and that, and whatever. Then you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're coming here, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, another thing, when you take the Lord's Supper, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you're supposed to? Are you doing it in remembrance of Him? Where's your heart? You see, God could care less about your actions if your actions ain't motivated by your heart. And this is the whole thing with them. They were falling back into the same pattern. What did He say? Remember what I told your forefathers through the prophets. What'd they do? They stopped up their ears, turned their backs, and they wouldn't listen. And you know what happened when they wouldn't listen to me? When they wouldn't listen to God? I wouldn't listen to them. That's what He said. So what the first thing that we see that He's dealing with here is worship. And these, they had all kinds of fast days they had created. And when they would come, they would make sure that everybody saw them, knew that they were fasting. And when they did it, they'd make sure that they wailed and they mourned so everybody could hear them and know, oh, aren't they religious? Oh, aren't they religious? And God said, you know, that makes me sick because your heart's not in it. This is just a show. How many people come to church for a show? Just to show up. Christmas, Easter, and some other special occasion. Show up. Or maybe if somebody's running for a political office, show up. But we can find ourselves in the same kind of problem if the only reason I came to church today was, look at me. I'm here. I'm religious. And I think it's like this. I have to remind myself why I do what I do. I have to remind myself why I do what I do. It's not so I can show up and you can see me. It's because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took all my sin on Himself, died in my place on a cross, suffered hell on earth, and rose from the dead on the third day. That's why I'm here. That's the reason I'm here. And I realize that God has already given me more than I could ever expect. See, it's all in here. Our search team searching for a pastor, and there was one thing I told them, when I say this, some people look at me like I'm crazy, but I said, when it comes to God, I think more with my heart than I do my head. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it comes to God, I think more with my heart than I do with my head. Because God could care less about how smart I am. God really cares about how much I love Him. God really cares about my attitudes towards Him. That's really more important. I can know all the theology in the world, and I can know all the Scripture memorized, but if my heart isn't broken because of my sin, and if I'm not have humility in my heart because of what God has done for me, then it doesn't matter what I got here. It's all right here. And they didn't have it here. Yeah, they had all their rules, they had their regulations, they had their religion, they had their rituals, and that's what he's talking to them about here. All these fast days and everything they had. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, well, you're in captivity for 70 years and you did all these religious things, these fasts and everything. Were you doing that for yourself or was you doing it for me? So you ask yourself the question when you get up and get ready to come to church, when you take the Lord's Supper. Am I doing this for Him or am I doing this for me? Pretty. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's okay. So that's the first thing he's addressing here in chapter 7. See, everything has changed. We've gone from prophecy and future now to dealing with the people. Okay, so the first thing is the way that they worship. Second thing is the way they live. The way they live. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. So what's he addressing here? He's addressing their attitude and their behavior towards one another. That's what he's saying to them. Man, you can have all the religious fast days you want, but if you hate your brother, what good is it? If you hate your sister, what good is it? The scripture says if you come to the altar to bring God a gift, and there's something that you have that is wrong between you and a brother or a sister, you pick your gift up off the altar, don't leave it for God, and you go back and you make your life right with them, and then you bring your gift to the altar. What he's saying to them is you oppress the widow, you oppress the fatherless, you cheat, you take advantage of. Your heart is in the wrong place. Again, what is it? Self. It's what you want for yourself, not what you can do for someone else. And so this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the way they live. And he said, you expect me to accept you and you're living like this? He said, well, you're just like, that's the reason I sent them into captivity for 70 years. What'd they do? They stopped up their ears. They refused to listen. They turned their backs. So we could say the same things today. God is not just concerned that I show up for church on Sunday. In fact, he's as much or more concerned about how I live my life the other 6 days a week. How do I treat people? How do I love? How do I show compassion? Do I show mercy? Do I care? Do I care? You see, the same thing that breaks God's heart ought to break our heart. And let me tell you something. People know whether you care or not. And God surely knows whether you care or not. I know some of you do so good. Many of you send out cards, and I know Kay and I have had many cards sent and everything else, and your calls and your prayers are absolutely wonderful. Well, what did that show? You cared. When I went, I'm trying to go every week now at least and see Miss Sue Heine and Ruth Hunt and Bill Tanner and different ones that are really suffering now. And Miss Ruth is just laying in bed curled up in a fetal position. And I asked her, I said, Miss Ruth, do you hurt? She said, all the time. She knew who I was. I said, Miss Ruth, do you know who I am? She said, it's Brother Jack. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. And Brother David was with me because we were visiting together. But I reached out, and she had one arm that wasn't under the cover, and I reached out and put my hand on her arm. And I just began to rub and pat her arm. And I said, I love you. And everybody at church loves you. You need to know we love you. We care about you. I've heard people say, well, I don't know what to say if I go see somebody. So they never go see anybody. That's an excuse. If you really care about somebody, you can't use that excuse. Because the main thing is not what you say. The main thing is they know you care. They know you care. And when you reach out and you touch them and you tell them, I love you. I'm so sorry you're hurting. I pray for you every day, and I do pray for them every day. And I told her, I said, Miss Ruth, the best is yet to come. And when I prayed with her, I prayed that God would give her glimpses of glory while she lay there in that bed. You see, when you love somebody, you think about how you can help them. And a lot of times it's just that you show up. It's just that you care. It's just that you touch them. I'm a touching person. I mean, that's me. That's the way God made me. That's just the way I am. And whether it's a man or a woman, I don't care. If it's a man, I want to shake his hand. If he's suffering, I want to put my arm on him. I want to let him know I want him to feel my love and my care. Because that's more important from you than anything else. And you know God is the same way. He wants to feel our love and our care. And he's really concerned. God isn't going to throw a party because Jack Russell showed up at church this morning. But he's more concerned about how am I going to treat my brother and my sisters and the widows and the fatherless and the orphans and the poor, people that are hurting, people that are suffering. Don't you? He's much more concerned about that than he is that I showed up to church this morning. And see, they was going through all the motions. Are you going through the motions? It's Sunday. I'll be there. Going through the motions. You know, this great, omnipotent, omniscient God knows whether we're going through the motions or whether we're there because we want to be and we really care. And I doubt if there's hardly anything that hurts more than going through the motions, and He knows it. So that's why I have to ask myself, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And that was their great problem. That was their great problem. How they worshiped and how they lived. And you know, I see the same problems today in people. How they worship and how they live. Those are the two most important things in our life as an individual. Now, chapter 7, as we look at it here, boy, this is negative. What's God doing? God is pointing out to them their problems. God is pointing out to them. He's saying, hey, listen to me. You're falling back into the same pattern that your forefathers did, that I had to send into captivity for 70 years. You can't do that. He said, what I want to see true justice. I want you to treat people right. You know, one thing that we have lost so much in our world, in our culture, in our society today, we have lost so much. I'll tell you one thing that we've lost as much in our society, in our culture, in our world in today as anything else, and that's respect. There is no respect. There is no respect. And let me tell you something, when you lose respect for God, you ain't got nothing. You know, my dad in heaven. But my dad, anywhere we went, my dad, if I looked at somebody older than me and I said, hey you, or hey mister, my dad would knock the snot out of me. And he said, his name is sir. And when he talks to you, you say yes sir or no sir. You respect that man. And you know, back then, people had respect for each other. They had respect for each other. And that's something that's so lost in our society, in our world today. But God wants us to come to church not because, oh, it's Sunday and I've got to go. No, it's Sunday and I get to go because I love the Lord because of what He's done for me. And I respect Him above everything else. He's above everything. But in that same mode, God wants us to respect and love each other and treat each other as God would treat us. And so that's what all this chapter 7 is about. Now, that's all negative. He's trying to get them straightened out. Trying to get them straightened out. Because this is their great problem. They fall right back in this same rut, this same pattern, every time. Now, when you get to chapter 8 tonight, it's all positive. It's all positive. That's what God does, you see. God looks at you and I and He says, wait a minute. This is wrong. Now, let me tell you what you're doing wrong, okay? Now, let me tell you how much I love you. and that I want to bless you. And let's change that wrong to a right. And you see that all through the Old Testament. That's the way God's dealing with Israel here as well. And that's the way God deals with us today. That's the way God deals with us today, same way. So I have to remind myself, because, listen, it can get to be a ritual. Oh, I've got to go to church this morning. Oh, I've got to go to church tonight. Oh, I've got to go to church Wednesday night. No, I don't have to, but I want to. And when it gets to I have to instead of I want to, then my heart's in the wrong place. Now, I wanted everybody to understand and see that, because I have the same problem you do, you see. I'm still human. I'm still human. Well, you see exactly what was going on and what God is telling them here. When we get to chapter 8 tonight, you'll see everything changes because God is a God of love and God is a God of encouragement. But the worst thing we can do is not respect God for who He is and give Him the glory. And we do that when we just come to church because we have to, not because we want to. We just take the Lord's Supper because we have to, not because we want to. Or we just get baptized so somebody can see us, not because we love God and we want to be obedient to His commands. It's all the same thing. And believe me, God understands. He really knows. All right? That's not a hooray type of teaching this morning, but it's just as important because it is for me, because I have to remind myself continually, why do you do what you do? Amen? And the second bell rang. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your children that are here today. Lord, so many times I get up out of bed and I start getting ready for church and I think, well, I got to get ready. I got to get there. And I have to remind myself, why am I going? Why am I going? And the truth is, Lord, if I don't remind myself why I'm going, I usually get up and go and I'm just there. And right, and I might not even want to be there. But when I always remind myself, why am I going? I'm going because of who you are and what you've done in my life. And Lord, I don't expect to get a reward from being here. I'm here because you saved my wretched soul and made me a child of God. And Lord, you're teaching me how to love other people the way you love me. And Lord, people just need to know we love and we care. And Lord, it's not about us, but it's about the Lord and it's about them. And Lord, that's what God was trying to teach them. So help us to learn that too. Because when we do, you will be delighted in our life and in our worship and well pleased. Now bless the service to follow. Give Brother Trad the words to say, the praise team the songs to sing. Speak through the songs and through the message. And if there's anyone lost, we pray they might be saved. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through His shed blood we pray. Amen.